Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Well, good morning, beautiful people. It is good to see you all again, and I hope that you've had a wonderful start to 2022. Trust that you had a great Christmas break and a wonderful time over the new year. We're, of course, now 23 days into the new year, so I'm wondering, let me see by show of hands, how many of you have already failed at your New Year's resolutions? How many of you are already behind the eight ball, if you're honest? All right, see a few hands. Well, I've got good news for you, if that's you, because in just 1 week time, it's Chinese New Year. So you have opportunity to start all over again. Just hit the reset button, go back to the beginning. It's good news indeed. I was contemplating my New Year's resolutions this year, and I was thinking about, you know, how bad sugar and caffeine and carbs and alcohol and lack of regular exercise kind of is for me. And so I decided in 2022, I'm going to just stop thinking about it. All right. So that's one approach that you might want to apply. It's certainly a lot easier to achieve. But seriously, I really do hope that you've got off to a good start this year. And if for whatever reason you haven't, then I hope that by the time you walk out of here today, you feel strengthened and encouraged and reminded that, you know, often God does some of his finest work in our darkest hours. And I don't know what it is that you're facing, but whatever it is you're facing, God gets the final word on your situation. So I want to encourage you, take heart, have courage. God is with you, and he's going to be with you every step of the way, and he will get to have the final say, right? That's a special word of encouragement for all the cryptocurrency holders in the room right now, okay? Hashtag buying opportunity. I'm kidding, all right? Don't take that as financial advice. All right, so today we are in the third and final installment of our little three-part series called Mind Traps, and I love this theme so much. What a great way to start the year. And the truth of the matter is the mind is an incredibly mysterious but very powerful thing that quite literally affects every aspect of our life experience. What we believe and how we feel and how we see ourselves and how we see others and then how we relate to others and how we process all the billions of bits of information that kind of bombard our senses every single day. All of these things are deeply and profoundly influenced by what goes on in that seemingly infinite space between our ears. And so understanding the mind is incredibly important. And over in the Bible's New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, an old wise Christian leader by the name of Paul the Apostle gives us some profound and ancient insight into both the nature and the importance of our thinking. And I want to share with you today what he said. So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, and you'll be able to follow on screen behind me. He said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Here Paul is talking about the battleground of the mind, and he's talking about the world of ideas and ideology. And there's a lot that we could say about what Paul says in this little statement. But the one thing I want to draw your attention to this morning is the fact that he refers to three things, and they are highlighted in the text. He talks about thoughts, arguments, and strongholds. Thoughts, arguments, and strongholds. And in this instance, the words argument doesn't refer to like a conflict or a verbal disagreement or a spat. The word argument there means a reasoning or a rationalization. Thoughts, reasonings or arguments, and strongholds. And the three are related. And there is something of a progression that defines their relationship. Because thoughts, when fully developed, become arguments or reasonings. And reasonings, when fully developed, have the potential to become strongholds or ingrained, embedded patterns of reasoning. So what starts out as a thought, when developed and extrapolated and expanded on and developed, becomes a complex system of thoughts, an argument or a rationalization or a reasoning. And that reasoning, if left unchecked and unchallenged and unchanged, can potentially become a stronghold of the mind, a deeply ingrained and impatterned way of thinking that drives your behavior. So a mental stronghold or a mind trap, as we're calling it in this series, is just simply the product of an unchecked thought life. And the truth of the matter is there are so many people in the world today, Christian and non-Christian alike, who do not enjoy the kind and quality of life that God would have us enjoy simply because their minds have become trapped in these strongholds, in these embedded patterns of thinking. And so the point that Paul is trying to make here is that if you do not control your thoughts will end up controlling you. If you do not control your thoughts will end up controlling you. Now, you are not your thoughts. You are more than your thoughts. But if you do not control your thoughts will end up controlling you. And having said that, it's really important for me to clarify that you do not necessarily have the ability to determine which thoughts enter your mind, but you do have the ability to determine which thoughts are entertained by your mind. You can't control the thoughts you have, but you can control the thoughts you hold on to. So, for example, let's say, you know, you arrive at work on Monday morning, and you're walking down the passageway and you get introduced to a new colleague, a new member of the staff team. And it just so happens that this particular individual, he or she is ridiculously good looking. And so you think to yourself, oh my gosh, he or she is stunning. What a beautiful person. Okay, fair enough, right? The thought has entered your mind. But the question becomes, well, what are you going to do with that thought? Are you going to take it captive and arrest it and not allow it to develop in any other direction? Or are you going to take that thought and expand on it and extrapolate it out and develop it into like a 13-part fantasy series in your head that ultimately then leads to an obsession, an unhealthy obsession with this individual, and maybe even worse, some inappropriate behavior like flirtation and seduction or maybe even an affair? Do you get the idea? What starts with a thought, if unchecked and unchallenged and unchanged, can very quickly develop into a system of complex arguments and rationalizations and reasonings that then can translate into a deeply embedded pattern of thinking that drives your behavior. So you want to control your thoughts before your thoughts start controlling you. Because whatever you permit, you empower. And whatever you allow, you give authority to. And that includes your thoughts. So over the course of the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about some very specific mental strongholds, or what we're calling mind traps in this series. Last week, Pastor Gordon did a brilliant job of talking about the mind trap of negativity. The week before that, Pastor D brought an outstanding message on the trap of the victim mentality. And so today we're going to be talking about the trap of all or nothing thinking. The trap of all or nothing thinking. So what exactly are we talking about when we talk about all or nothing thinking? Well, this is a term that psychologists use to refer to a particular cognitive distortion that has us thinking that life ought to be viewed in extreme absolutes. So it's a very dogmatic, very dichotomous way of thinking that assumes life is black and white, that options are fixed, that you are either for me or you are against me. You either love me or you hate me. I am either perfect or I am an utter failure. You are either right or I am right, but we cannot both be right. There's no middle ground. Right? In all or nothing thinking, life is kind of whittled down to this conflict between two extreme opposites. There's no room for nuance or for ambiguity or for mystery or for uncertainty or for possibility or, more importantly, even for change. And so this kind of thinking has us seeing life in very rigid and very fixed ways. Now, I know some of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking to yourself, man, I am so glad my husband came to church today because this is him to a T, right? Or maybe it's your wife. Listen, if you're here today with somebody who struggles with this kind of thinking, don't make eye contact, just look at me, all right? But it's more common than we realize. And if it's not you who struggles with this way of thinking, then chances are it could be your spouse or your child or a colleague or a friend. So the question then becomes, well, how do we know? How do we know that this way of thinking is potentially a trap that we ourselves are falling into? And there's a couple of telltale signs. Let me share some of them with you. Number one, you often use superlatives. So words like always, or never, or ever, you find yourself saying things like, I will never get this right, or no one's ever going to want to marry me, or you always say that, right? Those types of superlatives lead to black and white conclusions that are very often incorrect or untrue. Secondly, you find yourself giving up easily, right? You might be really good at setting goals and getting things started, but every time you trip up or slip up, you give up. So for example, you may have decided this year that you're going to gym 5 days a week, get on top of your kind of exercise commitments and goals, get those kind of washboard abs that you've been trying to get for the last 20 years. And maybe for the first 3 days, you get it right. You honor your commitment to go to gym every day. But then on day four, you sleep in, you hit the snooze button 3 times, and you oversleep and you miss your gym session. And you instantly feel like a total failure. And so you tell yourself, why bother? Why bother even trying? I'm never going to be able to honor this commitment. I'm never going to be able to achieve this goal. I always do this to myself. And then you go and console yourself with a tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream and 4 Krispy Kremes, right? So you find yourself giving up easily. Number three, you know that you're falling into this trap of all or nothing thinking when you experience low self-esteem and high anxiety. Right? It almost goes without saying that if you constantly see yourself as either perfect or a total failure, as either an expert or an idiot with like no middle ground and nothing in between, and you're constantly disappointing yourself because you cannot reach your unrealistic expectations of yourself, then of course your self-esteem is going to take a knock. You're going to constantly feel depressed. You're going to feel like a failure. And your sense of anxiety is only going to be heightened by the fact that you know you don't have control over the outcomes. So you cannot predict with 100% certainty that things are going to play out the way they could or they should or the way you desire them to. And so that unknowing just heightens your sense of anxiety. So you experience low self-esteem and high anxiety. Number four, you end up procrastinating and or lacking motivation. Very often, people who struggle from this all or nothing thinking just don't start anything new. They don't take on any new challenges because they can't predict with certainty that they're going to manage the outcomes, that it's going to go the way they want it to go, that it's going to be 100% perfect. And so they don't bother. They don't take up the risk because they don't have the guarantee. So they procrastinate or they lack motivation. Number five, if you find yourself ignoring the good things in your life, this could be a sign that you're falling into the trap of all or nothing thinking. If you have an inability to feel gratitude for the good things you do have, for the wonderful things that you have achieved, for the great gifts that are already in your life, if you feel that you just seem incapable of expressing appreciation for all the brilliant, beautiful, bright moments in your life because you're so obsessed with the dark and difficult ones, then chances are you're slipping into the trap of all or nothing thinking. So these are some of the signs that you might be embedded in this particular stronghold. Now, this kind of thinking can show up in multiple ways in our lives, like it can show up in our relationships. How many of you have ever kind of said to a spouse or a friend or a child, you never listen to me when I'm talking to you. You always do this. I don't think you will ever understand me. Right? Those types of superlatives are indicative of the fact that you have unrealistic, fixed, and rigid and dogmatic expectations of the people in your world that they're incapable of meeting. Sometimes it shows up in our theology. Well, this is the only way that you can interpret this particular passage. This is what this scripture means. It can't mean anything else. It has to mean this. This is how you interpret this particular Greek word. This is what the Bible says about end times. This is how you define salvation. This is how you understand faith. And it can be no other way. It has to be this, right? And you end up with some very narrow ideas about who God is and how faith works and what following Jesus means because of your rigid and inflexible thinking. Sometimes it can show up in our leadership, right? This is the way we've always done it. This has to be the right way because this is the way we've always done it. It can't be any other way. And it can show up in a host of other ways. You know, maybe, for example, you go for a job interview. And halfway through the job interview, the interviewer throws a question at you that you kind of didn't expect, and it catches you off guard. And you stumble your way through your response and your answer, and it really doesn't go the way you hoped it would go. Well, if you view that experience through the lens of all or nothing thinking, you're going to walk away from that interview feeling like you failed. And you're going to discount and disregard 95% of the interview, which probably went really well, and you're going to beat yourself up over the 5%, right? And so this type of thinking shows up in big ways and small ways in so many different areas of our lives. And so the question then becomes, well, what impact does it have on our lives? What kind of toll does this kind of thinking have on your soul? What does it do to your relationships and the people that you love? And there are four things that manifest as consequence of this way of thinking. Number one, it produces emotional stress. I'm talking here about anxiety and worry and low self-esteem, that sense of feeling like a failure, feeling a sense of self-disappointment, right? Number two, it manifests as relational strain. Do you know that you can inadvertently end up pushing people out of your life that you love and care about, putting distance between yourself and others because of your rigid, inflexible, fixed way of thinking? You can end up annoying your spouse and disappointing your friends and frustrating your work colleagues and offending people around you because you're not open to dialogue, you're not open to discussion, you're not open to entertaining other points of view and opinions. It's kind of like my way or the highway. Well, when you do that, very often people in your world are going to take the highway if they don't agree with your way. And so you can inadvertently put a lot of pressure on your marriage and put a lot of pressure on your kids, put a lot of pressure on your relationships. So relational strain is a consequence. Number three, intellectual deficit. And here I'm talking about like ignorance and deception and misinformation. You can actually end up holding some really bad and unhelpful and unhealthy beliefs about things that are really important in life, like God and faith and following Jesus and your health and money and relationships, if you're not open to alternative points of view and other perspectives and new ideas and other truth. If you close yourself off to all of those things, you can end up actually being ignorant and uninformed. And number four, it can manifest as spiritual blindness. In fact, Paul the Apostle talks about people's hearts and minds being darkened by their refusal to accept the truth of the gospel. Your mind can become kind of foggy and clouded and dark, blinded by this way of thinking when you're closed off to alternative points of view that conflict with your narrow definitions and understandings of the way things are or the way things could be and should be. So it's kind of no surprise then that the scriptures encourage us away from this kind of thinking. And I love the way Paul gives expression to this in Romans 12, verse 3. This is the same Paul who wrote 2 Corinthians. He says in verse 3 of Romans 12, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather," and here's the key, "think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." The New Living Translation says, "Be honest in your assessment of yourself." I love that, right? Because what Paul is encouraging us here toward is an avoidance of unrealistic and extreme expectations of ourselves and others, or assessments of ourselves and others and of life. And he's encouraging us toward a sober, realistic, accurate assessment of who we are, who others are, and what circumstances we are facing in life, right? He's saying on the one hand, don't think too highly of yourself, right? Don't overestimate yourself. Don't think you are more than you really are. But at the same time, he's also implying you shouldn't underestimate yourself. You shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but you also shouldn't think more lowly of yourself than you ought to, right? He's appealing for a fair, accurate, realistic, sober assessment of yourself and others and life. And how many of you know you cannot achieve that kind of assessment, that sober, fair, realistic, and accurate assessment all by yourself? It takes community. It takes relationship. It takes interdependency with other people. You need other people to help you get that kind of perspective, an accurate, more complete, more honest, more assessment of you and those around you and life as you're experiencing it. You know, a few months ago, in fact, it would have been a few months ago, when I first started cutting my hair like this, right, super short, I was inspired by Pastor D, and I thought I'm going to get in on that action. I started cutting my hair super short like this, and one day I was standing in the kitchen, and my son Nathan came up behind me and he stuck his finger in the back of my head. He said, "Dad, what's this?" Like this. I said, "That's a sick skin fade, bro. What do you think?" He said, no, I'm not talking about your haircut." He says, "What's that big red patch on the back of your head?" He said, "Looks like you got sunburn or a rash or something." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "There's a big red patch on the back of your head." My wife, Liesl, was sitting in the kitchen, in the lounge, just across from the kitchen. And she kind of yelled out from the couch. She said, "Oh, that's your birthmark." I said, "My what?" She said, "Your birthmark. That's been there for as long as I've known you." I said, "What the heck are you talking about?" I told my son, "Take a photo." So he took a photo of the back of my head and he showed me. And of course, to his nuts, there's a big red patch on the back of my head. Now, can I tell you, I have been living in this body for 47 years. And I had no idea that it was there. I'd never seen it before. Nobody had ever pointed it out. I just had no idea that it was there. I saw this thing. I thought, oh my goodness. I texted the photo to my mother in Johannesburg. I said, "Mom, do you know about this?" She texted me back. She said, "Yeah, that's your birthmark. It looks a bit bigger than I remember it, but it's been there for as long as you've been alive." I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Mom, what else are you not telling me? Am I adopted?" But here's the point, right? Sometimes you need people who can see what you can't see to help you know what you don't know. You need people who can see what you can't see to help you know what you don't know. You need people to hold up the mirror for you so you can see more accurately who you really are and how life really is. And so breaking out of this all or nothing thinking requires community. It requires dependency on other people. It requires a willingness on your part to lean into those relationships. So what is the pathway out of this way of thinking? How do we break free from the trap of all or nothing thinking? Because in a lot of ways, you know, all or nothing thinking, it's like a wild animal. You know, when they tame a wild animal, like a horse, you know, they'll put a bridle on the horse's face and some reins around its neck, and they'll put a saddle on its back, and at first the horse will buck and kick against it, but eventually the horse will accept those restraints and submit to those restraints and be tamed. So the question is, how do you tame your thinking? Because our thinking needs to be tamed. And I reckon all or nothing thinking can be tamed by three things. And those three things are humility, curiosity, and gratitude. Humility, curiosity, and gratitude. Humility just simply being, you know, the willingness to acknowledge that you may not be right. You could possibly be wrong. And if your particular point of view is not incorrect, then I guarantee you it is at least incomplete. And so humility says, you know what, I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, I want to know that I'm wrong, and I'm open to updating my belief, my conviction, my point of view, my assessment, based on the new data. I love this quote from Tim Urban, who said, "While humility is a permeable filter that absorbs life experience and converts it into wisdom, arrogance is a rubber shield that life experience simply bounces off of." That is so true, right? Arrogance says, "I know it all. I don't need another point of view. I've already figured this out. My view is the right view. My perspective is the right perspective." But humility says, "You know what? I might be wrong. And if I am, I want to know that I'm wrong. And I want a more healthy, accurate, realistic perspective on me, my relationships, my spouse, my situation." And that leads to the second element of curiosity. And curiosity is just simply the willingness to leave behind the familiar and the predictable and the comfortable and the secure, and to challenge your own assumptions and to question your own knowledge and to look for reasons why you might be wrong, not reasons why you might be right, and to go exploring. And to go discovering and to be curious and inquisitive about what you don't know. Question what you do know and be curious about what you don't know. I love George Bernard Shaw's quote on progress and change. He says, "Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." See, you and I, friends, cannot grow, and we cannot learn, and we cannot change if we're not willing to update our thinking and to change the way we see ourselves and the world. But that requires humility and curiosity, and then finally, gratitude. It requires a willingness on our part to stop and to take a moment to acknowledge the good things we do have, what we have achieved, the things we have reason to be thankful for. And you know as well as I do, that's a habit, that's a discipline that needs to be nurtured and fostered and created. It doesn't come naturally. You've got to build it into the rhythm of your life. And we speak so often about gratitude here in the life of the church. I'm not going to dwell on it too long, but it certainly helps us break out of the tyranny of all or nothing thinking. And so I want to finish with these words from Paul again in Romans 12, verse 2, because he says here, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Rather, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I love this statement from Paul because it's such an encouragement to us, because it's a reminder that we're not alone. We're not alone in the struggle with our own thinking. Paul says that God has given us the truth of His Word and the power of His Spirit, and through the grace that comes to us via both, you and I can be transformed. You and I can be changed. And God is wanting to partner with us in that transformation. You don't have to do it all by yourself. There's grace. There's power that comes to us through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And so to that end today, I want to take a moment as we wrap up our time together to pray. And I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for me, and I want to pray particularly today for anyone who is perhaps struggling in the area of their thinking. Maybe you are wrestling with anxious and depressing thoughts. Maybe you are wrestling with negative thinking. Maybe you are wrestling with that victim mentality we spoke about a few weeks ago. Maybe you have recognized today for the first time that you are stuck in the trap of all or nothing thinking. Well, I want to pray by the power of God and the grace of God that you have the courage and the wisdom to begin to break free so that you can flourish, so that you can be all that God designed you to be, so that you can achieve all that God wants you to achieve with a lightness and a freedom in your spirit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.